In the mighty name of Jesus, my Lord and my God, I pray that everything that is superficiality will be taken away from our lives today in the mighty name of Jesus. We will indeed go deeper in you and deeper in love with you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' glorious name we are prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. For some time now, we've been looking at some little animals or insects or what have you, learning from them, because the Bible told us that they are wise. So if you want to be wise, you learn to observe the ways of the wise. And that is what we have been doing for some weeks now. Today, we are going to complete that particular series of message as we open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 30. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 30 again. We will read from verse 24 to 28. He said, "There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer." We said that was planning. He said, "The cornies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks." We said that is building and foundation laying. "The locusts have no king, yet go they forth all of them by bands." We said that is unity. "The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces." I want us to read verse 28 together. "The spider," let's read together, please. Proverbs 30, verse 28. Let's go. 1, 2, 3, go. "The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces." Praise the Lord. So we want to talk about the spider. The Bible says the spider takes hold with what? With her hands. And where does the spider end? In the king's palace. You will end in the king's palace. Tell your neighbor, "I'm on my way to the king's palace. There is no stopping me. I'm on my way to the king's palace. There is no stopping me. And nothing will stop you in Jesus' name. In fact, you will not be able to stop yourself in Jesus' name." The Bible makes us to understand that the spider, all of us, we know what spiders are like. Are they very strong? These feeble things with those hands. The Bible says with those feeble hands, with those weak hands, they don't even look nice at all. The Bible says that they take hold with their hands and they end up where? In the king's palace. This morning we are talking to you about doing. By the grace of God, we are talking to you about doing. Our sister said earlier on that I told her that in doing her research that she should do something, she should submit something. And I'm speaking from experience because I've done a dissertation that was almost 200 pages. You have God's DNA in you. And I'm telling you, you would think your brain is just working randomly. Your brain does not work randomly. Your brain is more capable than you ever think of. And so when you write and you think you've written nonsense, you go there, you find out that you are expressing an idea. I've told us a man called Cardinal Newman said, he said, "A man will do nothing if he waits until he does it so well that no one will find fault with what he has done." If you are waiting until you are not going to be criticized, until everything is perfect before you do, you will never do anything. Moreover, the Bible says, it said the righteous is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And whatsoever he doeth, shall do what? Shall prosper. Does the Bible say whatsoever he contemplates? Whatsoever he thinks? Eh? Whatsoever he imagines? Whatsoever he criticizes? No. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So whatever you do, the Bible says it will what? Prosper. And I hope this will encourage somebody to go and do something today, and God will prosper you in Jesus' name. He said, whatsoever he doeth shall do what? Shall prosper. So after you have lived righteous, then do, and God will prosper it. We are talking about doing. And he said, the spider takes hold with his hands. And what happens? He ends up in the king's palace. The Bible says, see a man diligent in his ways, he shall stand before kings and not mere men. You are going to stand before kings in Jesus' name. But we have to be diligent in what we are doing. We have to do what we are doing seriously. And see where you are going to end up. If you are doubting, if you are not fully committed, we cannot go anywhere. You cannot go anywhere. Let me tell you, if there are in 1,000 people, if there are only 3 committed people, God will promote and bless the 3 people. He will not say because the 997 remaining ones are not faithful, so he's not going to bless the 3 faithful people. He will bless them. So if you are faithful, irrespective of what is happening around you, God will still bless you. The spider takes hold with his hand and ends up where? In the king's palace. He weaves his way to the king's palace. You are going to weave your way to the king's palace in Jesus' name. If we are going to succeed like the spider to get to the king's palace, there are certain things that has to be our principles as children of God. I've told you, after hearing this message, your life will never be the same again in Jesus' name. You cannot be the same, because it's going to affect every areas of your lives and change it for good in Jesus' name. We must be a people that nothing is too small for us to do. If we are going to end up in the king's palace, nothing should be too small for us to do. How many of us have seen the spider's thread? How big is it? Eh? Is it not so little? Yet, with that thread, the spider will end up in the palace. So, nothing should be too small for us to do. A lot of people are waiting until something big is committed into their hands before they show faithfulness. Let me tell you, if you are not faithful in little things, in big things, you are going to disappoint. You know, somebody said this. I heard it long ago, until I heard it repeated again by somebody. He said, the only thing that starts from the top is when you are digging hole. In fact, let me put it bluntly the way they put it. The only thing that starts from the top is the grave. Isn't it? The grave. You go from the top down. Every other thing, all that you have ever become in your life, where did you start? From down. You go up. If you are wishing that you are starting at the top, you are going nowhere, I'm telling you. If yours is always to be, and never from the bottom, going up, you have missed it. Because the Bible says, it says, humble yourself before the Lord God Almighty, and he will do you what? And he will lift you up. To get up, you have to go down and let Jesus increase while you decrease. And he will bring his glory to pass in your life, and he will lift you up and take you to that place of your dream in Jesus' name. Never look at anything as being too small. That's why I told you, he said, whatever he doeth shall prosper. What he does not do will not prosper. What he does is what is going to prosper. The Lord is going to prosper somebody today in Jesus' name. The Bible says, whatever your hands finds to do, do it well. Do it with all your strength. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your strength. I shared with some of us who are sitting down with me yesterday, one of the things I heard from the, this is not original to me, I heard it at the conference, somebody said, look, when we hear the story of Joseph, that Joseph, he went from prison to prime minister, prison to prime minister, everyone likes prison to prime minister, we like that story, don't we? We do. He said, your ability to get from prison to prime minister depends on what you are doing when you are in the prison. If you don't handle the period when you are in the prison very well, you may be in prison, you will never become prime minister. Was Joseph the only one in the prison at that time? He wasn't the only one. Yet, he became the prime minister because of what he did while he was in the prison. In other words, what that means is this. When you think you are lonely, when you think that things are not working out yet, when you think that things are shut against you, when you think that you are not where you want to be yet, when you think that people look down on you, keep doing what God has asked you to do. And you are going to get to where? You get to the palace. Some of us will say, oh yeah, because you know people have hurt me so much. I've stopped. In those days, I used to be nice. So, in those days, I used to be compassionate. If you stop being compassionate, who will you say you are like? Jesus was compassionate. I was telling them, God help us, those of us who don't come early for Sunday school. Because a lot of things get taught. I told them, maybe I'll just give it to you free of charge. Because even though you didn't come early, praise the Lord. I remember I told them, I said, look, Jesus, the Bible said he was compassionate. One of his characters. What happens to us Christians? What happens to us? I said, how many of us, because your child has done something wrong, you disagree with them, you know, sometimes you even smack them. And they go, the next moment they fall down. Do you say, God catch you now? If you don't do that to your own children, how can you do it to someone else? If you rejoice at people's misfortune, there's something wrong with you. You haven't known Christ yet. The Bible said he was compassionate. And he was moved by compassion. Go and read something. In the book of John, chapter 6, the Bible actually wrote, go and read one of the verses there. He said, for Jesus knew who would betray him. In verse 6, before the events that took place in John 21 or where thereabout, he had known. The Bible said, and I shared it with us last week, that the Bible said Judas had a part of the ministry. He had a part of the ministry. The only reason why he didn't make it was because of the way he was going. If he had changed his mind, he had a part of the ministry. The Lord will not replace you in Jesus' name. I say you will end up in the palace in the mighty name of Jesus. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm going to end up in the palace. Because you have to know where you are going. The spider knows he's going to the palace. Where are we going? I am ending. Look, I'm going to the kingdom. I'm going to heaven. That is my destination. Irrespective of how I weave or what I'm weaving, but I just know that that is where I'm going. Where are you going? Because where you are going will determine what you do. If you want to end up with the King of Kings in his palace, you better find something to do that will glorify him. It is not enough. And I'll prove to you, it's not enough to say, God knows my heart. No, you see. Look, if truly it's in your heart, it will come out. It will what? It will come out. How do you know? Look, I'm not talking about church. I'm not talking about being in the church. Church is just one aspect, one facet of it. I'm not talking about church. And I can prove to us, you will know. Because it's going to affect different aspects of your lives. And we will see. We will soon carry out a survey here, very soon. You know, because the reason why I'm telling you that it's not enough for it to be in your heart, the Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, he said, faith without works is what? Is dead. He said, show me your faith by your works. He said, I will show you my faith by my what? By my works. By the things I do. That is what is going to show that I've got faith. I may say I've got faith and I keep it inside of me. If it has not translated to something tangible, to something that one can see, there's something that changes life, that changes the environment around you, check it very well. So no work, we must not consider any work as too small to do. Secondly, good work is a must for us as children of God. Nothing is too small. That's the first thing. The second thing is that good work is a must for us as children of God, and it has to be done continuously. Somebody say continuously. How often? When is the limit? Continuously. It has to be done continuously. Until we press the tape. Until we get to where we are going. Where are we going? The spider knows he's heading for the king's palace. Where are you heading for? I'm heading for the kingdom of God. I'm heading for the kingdom of God. And I will do whatever it takes to get there. Praise the Lord. Don't let anybody stop you. Tell your neighbor, say, don't let anybody stop you. Aha. Because at the end of the day, it is you that they are going to stop. And I will prove it to us very soon. It is you that somebody will stop. It may not be them. They will have moved on. And then they end up stopping you. Nobody will stop you in Jesus' name. The good work must be continuous until you press the tape, until you get there. Because the spider was aiming for the king's palace. You are aiming for the kingdom of God. And nothing. Look, let's go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. What does it say? Galatians 6, verse 9. If you get there before me, you can read. But I think I'm opening quite fast. So who gets there first? Let us not be weary in what? Praise the Lord. Let me read another version. You hear what it says. It says, and let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time, and at the appointed season, we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. So it is to those who will do it continuously that will get to him. Don't what? Don't faint. Why would the Bible tell you not to be weary and faint? Because he knows that discouragement will come. He knows that there are some days you are not going to feel like doing it. He knows that people will rob you the wrong way. He knows that you are going to be disappointed. Just like, how many of us wake up every day, I want to go to work? How many of us? Monday to Friday, when you wake up, you want to go to work. Okay. How many of us, really? For me, possibly 2-3 days out of those 5 days, I wake up, I don't really want to go to work. If you want to know the truth. If I have my way, particularly Monday morning, I just want a little more sleep. I wish I don't really have to go. You know that. I don't really. But do I go? I go. Do you go? You still go. But why do you go? Because you know your feeding comes from there. If you establish a record of absenteeism, who wants to work with you? So you go. It's the same thing with the things of God. It is not when you feel like. It is because the King of Kings has said that is what you have to do. That is the requirement for getting to the palace. So you do what is required of you. I remember one of the very senior pastors said, you know, he was preaching. I remember I listened to the sermon, and he said to the members of the congregation, he said, so I'm not going to ask you to do that. He said, say to your fellow, he said, look, that person who has offended you, go to them and say, you stupid fellow, but I forgive you because of Jesus. Even though you are a stupid fellow, I forgive you because of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. What does it say? It says, and as for you, brethren, as for who? As for who? Brethren. Those of us who are Christians. As for you who are Christians, do not become weary or lose heart in doing right, but continue in well-doing without weakening. Other people outside there who are not Christian may become weary. They may give up. They may stop doing good. But you, for you, as for you. Tell your neighbor, say, as for you. My brother, as for you. As for you. Do not be weary in well-doing. And the Lord will give you the strength and the grace in Jesus' name. Do you know, something has always pursued me. And I think I've told my wife this before. Why is it that we find it easier to do what is wrong? It's often easier. I don't know about you. It's often easier. For example, if somebody, another child of God, is saying, how much? You see, I pay my tithe. I do something. Do you know what happens? It's easy for me to just say, look, don't mind him. It's because he has nobody who depends on him. You see, he has no brother like me. He has no this thing. He has no responsibility. I can list 101 things why he should be paying his tithe and I shouldn't be paying mine. Is that not right? But let him tell me that one sister, and let that person tell me that one sister is a bad person. He should not be talking to that person. Even without encouraging, without telling me to join her and not talk to that person. When I see the person, I go. It's so easy for us to do what is wrong. But when it comes to doing good, we will have 101 reasons why it should not be possible in our lives. Even when we have not been invited to do evil, all that is necessary for someone to do it, we will just join. But when it comes to doing something good, and they tell us, I want you to need responsibility. People who don't have responsibility, they are the ones who pay their tithes. We have a lot of things to do. If you think you are the only one there, you'll be surprised. It's happened to me until very recently. You know, when we watch the plight of children who are really suffering and people show them and, you know, all along when they say, sponsor one child, you know, I would tell my wife, I say, look, if I want to sponsor, I have so many people in my family that I can be sponsoring Jerry. Why should I sponsor someone else? Charity begins at home. It's not in the Bible. The Bible doesn't say so. Charity begins at home. So I don't have to help anybody outside my family because it has to be, you know. These are lies of the devil. A way to trick us so that we don't partake in the things that can expand the kingdom of God. You know what? I told you, I remember one of these friendship Sundays and I told you something. I said, look, the fact that somebody is a member of your family does not necessarily make them your friend. Does that make them your friend? No, they may choose not to be your friend. In fact, the fact that you are being nice to somebody does not necessarily make them your friend. Remove your eyes and give it to them. If they don't want to be your friend, they will never be your friend. Instead of seeing the eyes you gave them, they will see the hole that is left behind and say, how can I befriend somebody who has Praise the Lord. I will leave it there. You see, do you know that God will specifically judge us by what we know? Huh? And don't do. Do you know that? Because the Bible says, he who knows to do good and does it not, to him is what? It's a sin. If you know what is right and you choose not to, look, all the knowledge you get, and I thank God, one cannot say you come to this church and you don't hear the word of God. You cannot say that. Say, he who knows to do good and does it not, to him is what? It's a sin. If we don't know, somebody has shared with us before, he said the punishment will be little. Eh? But if you know, particularly if you teach like me, God will help us in Jesus' name. For example, if you know to forgive and you refuse to forgive, let me quickly tell you something. Let me quickly show you something. Open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Hebrews 12, verse 15. I'm going to show you something there. One of our sisters said she did something. She said she thanked God for something. That God opens her spiritual eyes. When she was saying it, I was just laughing to myself. I don't know what that issue is. You know, I don't know what that issue is. But what I can tell you is this, is what the Bible is saying to us here. I will read from Amplified Version, 12 verse 15. It says, exercise foresight, that is, look ahead, and be on the watch to look after one another, to see that no one falls back from and fails to secure God's grace, his unmerited favor and spiritual blessings, in order that no root of resentment, rancor, bitterness, or hatred shoots forth and causes trouble and bitter torment, and the many become contaminated and defiled by it. Now, listen to this. What the Bible is saying is that if you don't forgive somebody, it is not that person's problem. It's not that person's problem. Do you know whose problem it is? Your problem. Why? Because the Bible says, if you read King James Version, it says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby you may be defiled. In other words, your heart will become defiled. It is your own heart that is going to be defiled, not the other person. Because your heart is defiled, nothing good can come out of you. Until that heart becomes right again. Because it's already defiled. Praise the Lord. Can somebody hear me? The root of bitterness, when it springs forth from your heart, who does it defile? Eh? The individual concerned is going to defile you. It's not going to defile the other person, though. It is you that gets defiled. And let's quickly look. I've learned recently, what are the signs of defilement? If you want to know, what are the signs of root of bitterness? If you want to know you have root of bitterness in you, let's quickly look at some of the signs of root of bitterness. Cynicism. You become negative about things. When people are doing it, you just, you kidding me? You know? If they do 10 things, the one that they didn't do right is what you are going to see. Hey, what are they even singing, sir? You know? The other choir I know, they sing like this, they do like this, cynicism is a manifestation of the root of bitterness when it is in the heart. What else? Complaints. Such a person will never have solutions, but they will have 101 complaints. Ask them, sister, now that you have said this, so where, how can we go forward? Say, well, I don't know for them, but they have 100 complaints, but no way to move forward. Brother, okay, from what you have told me, where do we go? What do you think we should do? I just know. It's not my business, but I don't think I should say this. Complaints. Mockery. You stand aloof, you watch everyone doing it, you make fun, you make light of it. Root of bitterness, unbelief and doubt. You used to be, you know, Jim Jim brother, Jim Jim sister, doing things for God, standing, and suddenly, once it comes, it just eats you up, and you just find out, you get discouraged. In fact, your time with God becomes, if you still have conscience, your time with, because you know it's possible to hold the faith in bad conscience, that people will no longer even remember. You think what you are doing is right, even when it's not right. Unbelief, lack of faith, will come as a result of this root of bitterness. And there's the other thing that you will see is that there's a decline in your fellowship with God. You stop fellowshipping with God, and you stop fellowshipping with children of God. Because there's a root of bitterness, there's something wrong. You don't even want to be in their presence. You don't want to be in their company. Of course. The other thing is that when there's root of bitterness, the other thing I learned recently is that you start talking about people instead of talking to them. You talk about them instead of talking to them. And then, of course, you have a change of attitude for the worse in the name of self-protection. Change of attitude. You just change your attitude. You are no longer, you are no longer excited by the things of God. You just find your attitude has changed. You are no longer who you used to be. And, you know, it's root of bitterness. If we don't deal with it, we are defiled. Everything we do will be superficial. Deeper in love with you. That was what we said. Deeper. Take me deeper. Do we want to go deeper? Do we want to go deeper? No, they... Church, they are not answering me. Praise the Lord. Do we want to go deeper with him? Okay. Do you want me to stop? We are probably not enjoying it. It's too confronting. We need it. The doctor has recommended, Dr. Jesus recommended this for us. Praise the Lord. It will heal our wounds. I say it will heal our wounds. It will take us to the palace. In Jesus' name. It's not my word. It's the word of God. And then you just find out that you are no longer giving yourself to the things of God. You are no longer giving to the things of God. You are no longer you are no longer concerned. You see, look. If the spider can weave his way to the king's palace, you will weave your way to the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. The blessings of the kingdom will become your portion in the mighty name of Jesus. It will be my portion. Every prayer I've said for you, I'm saying it for myself too. Three, the spider continues to weave until he gets to the palace, the place of his destination. So in other words, we must be people who are finishers, not just starters. Can we hear me? We must not just be starters, but also finishers. Let me tell you something. When you start to do things, there will be a lot of obstacle in your way. There will be a lot of discomfort. You know, yesterday when we went, I told you people I was going to have that mighty ride. All of you lazy people who are afraid, I went and had that scary ride, you know. And when I got there, I had to queue. There were a lot of people in front of me. At a point, I felt, it's too long. Look, I'll have to go into the sun. You know, we left the shade. We are winding our way up. And I said, maybe I should just go back. I said, no, I have to stay. I have to stay. Make sure I get on the line and get to where I'm going. Otherwise, do you know, between starting and to the time I got to that thing and we started moving, I had more than 10 reasons why I should just go back. Praise the Lord. It was just too hot. The heat was oppressive. The line wasn't moving fast. In fact, at one point, I even said to Abraham, I said, look, these people should have they should have at least 10 of those things there. And then we looked and we saw number 12. So with me, they had more than 10. Praise the Lord. I said, it would have been faster than this. I started giving excuses, you know, trying to encourage myself to go back. Let me tell you, if you don't have your eyes on the kingdom, there will be 101 reasons why you should stop believing, why you should stop doing what you know to do, why you should be faithful to God. Praise the Lord. It will come. It will come. Even persecution. He said, let it be known to you. He said, for all that will live godly in Jesus Christ will, they will do what? You face persecution. You face disappointment. You face all sorts of frustrations. But what is your destination? Is frustration your destination? I had to wait. I waited in the sun. Finally, I got it. The last stage, when I saw the height below me, I felt like giving an excuse and going back. But I just stayed and pedaled on. And then I went around and got back. And then I went and made mouth to all those people who were sitting there. I said, do you know, you didn't even see me when I was waving to you. And so, praise God, you are going to finish well in Jesus' name. What you went through before you finish well, nobody will know. Nobody will share that with you. It becomes irrelevant. What becomes relevant is that you have finished well. You are going to finish well in Jesus' name. Because when you do it well and you finish well, what's going to happen is it's going to rub up on your children. It's going to come on to the generations to come. It's not just about us. I said, one of the things God showed me last week is this. He said, all the people who have failed in every area of their lives, it has been their failure. People who failed in their marriages and in their homes, it affected generations. Adam, Abraham, David, they will always leave something terrible behind. You will not fail in Jesus' name. So what's your destination? Once you realize your destination, go for your destination. Let nothing hinder you. Let nothing hinder you. I don't rejoice at people's misfortune. I'll just tell us so we can learn from it. The Bible says all the things that are written in the Bible, they are written for our examples. Okay? So we can learn from it. Recently, we've had two experiences. There used to be a brother here that we would say, oh, brother, this is the way, this is this is that. The brother was so adamant and, you know, went away and so on. Not long ago, my wife was in the was at Fremantle doing something there, and this brother just came to her and said, "Madam," he was the one who came and said, "Madam," he said, "you see my life?" He said, "You, I've just come out of prison." I'm telling you reality. But this was a brother who had potential. We tried to groom him. In fact, at the point I made him to teach Sunday school here. He was teaching Sunday school. He came, said, "Madam, you see, I'm just from prison. I'm not going to tell you what else he said, but so that you don't try to imagine things and think you know the person." That's one. Another brother, also, who was by the grace of God, God was using him. He too was teaching Sunday school. We were really encouraging him and so on. And as soon as he got very wise in the things of Australia, nothing was right again in the church, everything was problem, eventually they left, anyway, he saw me and said, "Please, I want you to intervene." Said, "Please," spoke to my wife, said, "Please intervene, this is what is happening." He said, "Look, if I now bring the word of God and I try to even speak to my wife," he said, "my wife will not even listen, it's a big argument." I said, "Wow." He said, "And you know what?" He said, "Do you know, if I ask my children to do something," he said, "they will first of all look at their mother, whether they should do it or not. If she says no, the kids will not do it." I told him, "Yours truly, you know me." I told him, I said, "Look," I said, "you've missed it from the point where you left God. That's where you missed it." And I was telling us this morning, if you have not been diligent, if you have not been faithful, if you have not been consistent, and then the day you quarrel or have a misunderstanding with your wife and you now take the Bible, your wife knows that you are a hypocrite, that the word of God means nothing to you, and you now take the Bible and say, "Darling, let's look, this is what the word of God say about you to your wife, to husband." Your wife does. Today is the day you know what the word of God says. When you have never lived the word of God in your life, My wife and I, if something comes, if I speak to her, I say, this is what the word of God says. She can't question me. Because I leave it. When it comes to my family, I leave it. When it comes to my extended family, I leave it. When it comes to people around, I leave it. Even though it's difficult, sometimes I feel like, hey, God, enough is enough. If you have not lived the word of God, you can't use the word of God to solve your problem. It won't. But if that is your way of life, your wife knows you are consistent, you, darling, let's go to church. I'm still having the baby. I'm still, okay, take the other car. Come and join me. After 10 times, your wife will come, will join you. She knows that you have to prepare early, and then all of you will come to church. The day you sit her down and say, darling, this is what the Bible says. You say, okay, honey, okay, sorry. Let's just pray. Thank God for our lives. But you haven't lived it, and then you say, darling, this is the Bible. Who will listen to you? Praise the Lord. Okay. What you do, like I told you, our destination determines what we do. And do you know how you know your destination? Because your destination determines your desires. Praise the Lord. Open to Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. Who is there? I don't want to be the one to read it. Can somebody read for me, please? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Praise the Lord. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Praise the Lord. Ask your neighbor, where's your treasure? Eh? So where's your heart? Where's your treasure? Where's your heart? So in other words, if somebody can locate your treasure, they can locate your heart. Your desire, your love. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's do a little bit of exercise. I learned this from someone else. So it's not my idea originally. Praise the Lord. So it's mine. Okay. Praise the Lord. How do you... Can we just spend 2 seconds? Okay. We are going to look at 2 treasures that you've got in life. We are going to look at your money. We are going to look at your time. There are 2 treasures. There are 2 things we treasure very well, right? Good. I want you to take stock. Just stick it off in your head. In the last month, think of where you have spent your money, what you've spent your money on. You will know where your treasure lies. Yeah. Let's think. Just think of how much you spent. Where did they go? Just think of it. Just go. Have you thought about it? Praise the Lord. Okay, good. In the last month, can you quickly just do a recap and see how you spent your time? Where were you? What did you spend your time doing? Do you have an idea? In some churches, they have tithe cards. If we had tithe cards here, I probably would be able to go and take a look at it. If you pay your tithe once in 6 months, can you say your treasure is with the Lord? Praise God. Can you say your treasure is with the Lord? It's not likely. For example, you love your family. Do you feed them once in 6 months? Huh? I don't feed my family once in 6 months. Praise the Lord. Look at your time. How much time do you spend praying, fellowshipping, reading the word? That will tell you where your love is. When was the last time you bought a DVD, a spiritual DVD, to watch, pray, and sing to the Lord? When was the last time you bought a sermon? When was the last time you bought a book, a spiritual book? And yet you say your heart is with the Lord.
If that is where your heart is, that's where your treasure. These are your treasures. Anywhere there, I don't know where you put them, but wherever you put them, that is where your heart is. Let's not deceive ourselves. Wherever I put my treasure, that's where my heart is. Because you are not likely to expend energy and time on something you don't like. It is what you like that you are going to spend your time and energy on, your money and everything.
Praise the Lord. We love the Lord. Somebody say amen. I'm sure we love the Lord. Yeah? Praise the Lord. Okay. Again, still on our treasure and our heart. I will do this one openly. Don't say because of modesty you are not going to raise up your hand. Oh, this is not modesty at all. How many of us has ever in our life witnessed Christ to somebody? Anyone in the house, if you have ever in your life witnessed Christ to somebody, praise the Lord. You've ever, you know, sat somebody down and ministered Christ to them and say, this is the way, this is Jesus. You know what I mean? Maybe you met them somewhere and said, Jesus is the only way, the truth and the life and so on. You come to him. Have you ever? Praise the Lord. Good. How many of us have in the last 10 years ministered Christ to somebody? In the last 10 years, you've ministered Christ to somebody. Praise God. What about in the last 5 years? Not modesty, oh. Because you cannot be a Christian without ministering Christ to somebody else. It's not possible. In the last 5 years, have we ministered Christ to somebody? We've met. Church, let's get excited about the things of God. This is not modesty. Let's talk. I mean, we are being open to each other. We are, you know. Okay, in the last 1 year, how many of us has ministered Christ to somebody? Last 1 year. Good. The last 6 months. In the last 6 months, you've sat somebody down and said, Jesus is Lord, come to him. Last 3 months. We can go on and on. Last 1 month. Last 1 week. It just keep on dwindling. Praise the Lord. We love the Lord, right? Our hearts is with him. Amen. Our treasure is with him. Praise the Lord. For where your heart, for where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Praise the Lord. I will leave it there. Food for thought. Things have to change. Thank God for the people who volunteered and said, look, they want to follow up people who come to the church. The church will give them resources to do it. You cannot say you are a Christian and you don't minister to Christ to people. It's not possible. You can't. I mean, it doesn't work that way. Lastly, if we are going to end up in God's palace, because there are two palaces. Amen? I said there are two palaces. If you end up in one palace, you cannot be in the other palace, because these are kingdoms. One wars against the other. They are not friends. Over there, there is nothing like diplomacy. I'm going to, you know, I just take from this side, take from that side, and then we'll balance it out. It doesn't work that way. So, our attitude to the word of God will determine where we are going to end. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you something I learned also this weekend. That you see, when a man is saved, when we are saved, we are made of spirit, soul, and body, right? What aspect of us gets saved? The spirit man gets saved. Praise the Lord. The spirit man gets saved. What is referred to as the soul, okay, when the spirit man gets saved,
and is consistently saved, living righteous, at the end of the day, that will have saved the soul. But it's the spirit man that gets saved. And then, what happens is this, you still retain your intellect, you retain your mind. So that is why, as Christians, you may become born again. You will still have your old nature. The way you used to think and behave and do things is exactly the way you continue to. Am I right or wrong? How many of us know now? You will still be doing things exactly like before. You'll be thinking like before. But your spirit is saved. How then do we line up with Jesus and his word? Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 verse 2. This is where, if you are going to end up in God's own palace and not the other man's palace, this is what needs to happen. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Let me read it to us. We know it very well. It says, "Do not be conformed to this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial custom." But listen to this part. I'm closing now. "But be transformed," that is changed, "by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude." Somebody say attitude. "So that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." If we have not undergone attitude change, we are wasting time. Because that reasoning part of us is still the same as before. We have to bring it into captivity. Bring it in line with the word of God. Praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. I say Jesus is Lord. You know, the Bible says something. It says, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are." Eh? Praise God. We know that. Okay. Do you also know that Jesus said, "My word, the word that I speak to you, they are spirit and life." Praise the Lord. So, if the word of God is spirit, and only those that are led by the spirit can be called sons of God. Can you see the relationship? That only those who do the word of God are the children of God. They are the spiritual people. Everyone who knows the word of God and doesn't do it, you are not spiritual, is a lie. Because the spirit of God is the word of God. Because the word that Jesus speaks is spirit and is life. "And as many as are led by the spirit of God, they are the children of God." God will not bless you based on what you know. God will bless you based on what you do. Praise the Lord. Can we just rise up and pray? You are going to thank God. Say, "Father, I just thank you. We've just learned from the spider. The spider, using its hand, built its way to the palace. You are going to build your way to the kingdom of God. Tell God, I say, "Father, I'm going to build my way to your kingdom. In the mighty name of Jesus, I am going to build my way to your kingdom. You will never disown me. You will never reject me. Your kingdom is my destination. Nothing will stop me. I will not allow anyone to stop me. I will not allow situation to stop me. I will not allow circumstance to stop me. In the mighty name of Jesus, kingdom of God, you are my destination. I will make it. I will make it. I will not fall aside. I will not fail on the way. I'm not going to faint on the way. I will make it in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. My Lord.